We talk about curing cancer like it's one problem, one disease, one breakthrough away from being solved. But really, cancer isn't one thing. It isn't one mutation or one virus. It doesn't show up in one organ. It doesn't even behave the same from patient to patient. And sometimes it doesn't even look like a threat at all. Cancer is more akin to a category, a label we give to hundreds, maybe thousands of distinct biological failures. Really, cancer is an amalgamation of different diseases, all with one common outcome: cells that grow when they shouldn't and don't stop when they should. That's why the idea of a cure for cancer has always been misleading, because there isn't one cancer, there isn't one cause, and so there's never going to be one solution. But what if we didn't need one? What if we could build hundreds of solutions, one for each patient and one for each tumor? What if the key wasn't a stronger drug, but a smarter immune system? Today's episode is about personalized cancer vaccines, how they work, what they unlock, and what it means to turn the immune system into the treatment. I'm Andrew, and this is Curie. To understand why personalized cancer vaccines are such a radical idea, we first have to understand the problem they're trying to solve. As I mentioned in the opening, we often talk about cancer as if it's one disease, but really it's not. It's a category, kind of like saying infection. That could mean strep throat, tuberculosis, a skin rash, sepsis. It tells you something is wrong, but not exactly what or how to fix it. So the same goes for cancer. You know, it's an umbrella term we use for thousands of conditions that really only share a single outcome: uncontrolled cell growth. There's no single cause, no single path, no universal treatment. Each cancer is different, kind of like its own lock with its own key. But even more challenging is this. Cancer doesn't look foreign, it looks like us, and our immune systems are designed not to attack what looks like us. This is where Dr. Vinod Balachandran comes in. He's a surgical oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and he spent the last several years asking a fundamental and key question. If the immune system already knows how to fight off viruses and bacteria, could it be taught to do the same for cancer?
So cancer vaccines, as you know, have been perhaps one of the most sought after challenges in medicine. Namely, can you teach the immune system to recognize cancer? And part of the motivation for this has been because vaccines against infectious diseases, viruses, bacteria, have been perhaps the most arguably successful medicine to improve health in human history. We also know now that the way the immune system recognizes viruses and bacteria is quite similar to how the immune system recognizes cancer. We use the same cells, the same receptors, the same molecules. So if you can do this against a virus or a bacteria, why could this not be possible against cancer, and that it theoretically should be feasible, but perhaps we just don't know how to do it yet?
It's a fair question, and the answer comes down to visibility. Viruses are foreign, they stick out. On the other hand, cancer is homegrown, it blends in. And to train the immune system to recognize cancer, you first have to make it visible, and that's harder than it sounds. So to answer that, Balachandran's team went looking for clues, and they found something unexpected in the medical records of a few patients who, by all odds, should not have survived. A few years ago, Balachandran's team started studying a small group of pancreatic cancer patients. Now, pancreatic cancer is notoriously aggressive. The survival rate is around just 10% at 5 years. But some patients were beating the odds, long-term survivors, no recurrence. Balachandran explains.
We had found now about 8 years ago by studying rare survivors of pancreatic cancer. So these are the approximately 10% of pancreatic cancer patients that receive similar treatments as other pancreatic cancer patients, but survive long-term. What we had found in them through deep scientific analysis is that these patients are able to mount natural T cell responses against their cancers spontaneously, and that these T cells were, contrary to the thinking at the time, recognizing mutated proteins in pancreatic cancers, despite pancreatic cancers having very few mutations, which is a common feature of essentially all cancers. So this led to this idea that if natural immune responses against a mutation, a ubiquitous byproduct of cancer in pancreatic cancer, could somehow impact outcome, could you then replicate this through vaccination in other pancreatic cancer patients? If we teach their immune systems to recognize their cancers in a way similar to what's happening spontaneously in the survivors, could you generate a similar outcome?
This was the turning point. If some patients' immune systems were recognizing the cancer on their own, maybe that response could be taught. Maybe it could be scaled. And that's what Balachandran's team wanted to find out. After surgery, they took a sample from each patient's tumor. They sequenced it, looking for specific mutations unique to that person's cancer. And then they used those mutations to build custom mRNA vaccines. So not a general purpose drug, not a one size fits all therapy, but something tailor made to help that person's immune system recognize their cancer. It was like a unique key for a very specific lock. Here's what happened.
So here, what we examined is whether these T cells made by the vaccine had the ability to persist in patients and retain function in patients. And if they stuck around, do these patients continue to do better? And what we found was that these T cells made by these vaccines appear to have really quite exquisite potential to stick around in patients, which addresses a really fundamental challenge, I think, for cancer vaccines. The average estimated lifespan of these T cells after their vaccination prime and boost was approximately 7 years. And not only do they seem to have the potential to stick around, they seem to also continue to work.
7 years. That means the immune system didn't just respond. It remembered and it adapted. And in the patients who responded to this vaccine, their cancer hasn't come back. Now, it's important to be clear, this is early data. The trial was small, it wasn't randomized, and not every patient responded. But I think something important happened here. The immune system was taught to see a cancer it had previously ignored. And in patients who did respond to this treatment, that immune response lasted for several years. This isn't a magic bullet. It's not a silver cure, but it is a shift. A shift from fighting cancer with chemicals to fighting it with code. A shift from treating disease generally to treating it personally. And a shift from one size fits all to one size fits one. And I think this idea is simple, even if the execution isn't. That is, if every cancer is personal, maybe the treatment should be too. Dozens of trials are now underway in melanoma, colon cancer, lung cancer, and many other oncology indications, each one asking the same question. Can we make the immune system smarter? Each vaccine is different. Each tumor tells a different story, but the principle is the same. Train the body to recognize the threat and let it remember what to do. Now, this isn't going to replace surgery or chemo overnight, but it could reshape what happens next. It could reduce recurrence, extend remission, or even buy time we didn't know we had. And it might mark the beginning of something even bigger, a new kind of medicine, built not around drugs, but instructions, delivered not in pills, but in packets of biological code. We spent decades trying to destroy cancer cells, but maybe the real opportunity is to teach the body to do it for us. Not with a miracle drug, but with a message. This is Curie. I'm Andrew. Thanks for listening.